This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you ka-ching. Ka-ching. Come on, guys, we talked about this. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. And once you start selling, Shopify makes getting paid simple by instantly accepting every type of payment. What I love about Shopify is how, no matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. You want to grow big? Shopify. You want to grow small? Shopify. You want to grow medium rare? Also Shopify. Shopify powers 10% of all commerce in the United States, and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/ifanboy, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/ifanboy now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/ifanboy. You are listening to the iFanboy Pick of the Week podcast, episode 92, sponsored by Jim Hanley's Universe, geekarmor.com, and the Netflix. I want to be stereotyped.
Hey gang, it's me, Iron Man Tony Stark. Recording from the SHIELD helicarrier, you've tuned in to the If Fanboy Pick of the Week podcast, starring Josh, Ron, and Hunter. Each week, the boys take the initiative to read the comic books, some of them featuring me, Tony Stark. Others feature lesser heroes. They then pick their favorite book, hopefully the Invincible Iron Man, which they then discuss on the show. But be careful, ladies. Spoilers abound. Enjoy your show, boys. As for me, I'm gonna go get totally wasted and throw up in one of Reed's experiments.
Thank you, Tony Stark. And it's Connor, not Hunter, you son of a bitch.
Well, he doesn't really pay attention to the details.
Yeah. He's, you're the little people.
Right. Exactly.
Also, he's probably drunk.
Yeah. He's loaded.
We go way back. He's rich people.
Taking it back. Rich people.
All right.
So Tony didn't tell you that Josh had the pick this week. So Josh, take it away.
How could he know?
First, before you get in, can we just give a round of applause for him picking Justice Society of America? Because it's about time.
Okay.
When I saw the pick of the week tonight, when it went up, I was like, thank Christ, because it would have been my pick. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, I was actually curious. That was my first question. Yeah. It was like, because you do the pick in a vacuum.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you don't know.
You never know what your action's going
to be. And I don't ask you guys until we start doing the show whether you're both going to go, what the fuck?
Yeah, which has happened quite a bit.
Yeah,
So bravo.
All right. I opened it up and I thought
Justice Society number 8.
Justice Society number 8 by Jeff Johns and I guess it's a fill-in artist, Fernando Pessarin and Rodney Ramos. I don't know if he's normally the inker. He was the inker on Transmetropolitan, so I always remember him. He's a
cool.
Great inker.
Right.
This is basically a standalone issue exploring Liberty Bell and then to a certain extent Damage.
Was number 7, was that the Sergeant Steel?
Yes.
Yes.
So we're doing like profiles now,
Citizen Steel
Steel.
Which again, we've got this giant team, and he keeps, like, I looked at it like a microscope. Like, it's out, and you see everybody, and then every once in a while it just sort of zooms in on one or two people, and you sort of get to spend time with them, and it's just done so well. I don't find myself wanting it all. I don't find myself going, oh, I wish they'd spend more time with so-and-so. Because he's giving it all to us in these very metered doses, and it's very nice.
I don't want to interrupt your train of thought, but you mentioned the giant team. I'm reading the blurb for next month's issue.
Oh.
The Justice Society of America battles ablaze with some Brooklyn firefighters and discovers a new superhero among their ranks.
What are there up to, like 18, 19 people now? Well, they're a society.
It's the society of 57.
Yeah.
By the time this is over, they're going to be the fourth largest country in the world.
So the beginning of the issue basically is like the very first page is, on Monday, we're fighting this guy.
So we're doing a page-by-page analysis.
Yeah. Well, no, but...
Page one, panel one.
We're going to read it. Okay, you take damage. Okay. I'll take Hourman.
All right, here we go. I want to be Hourman.
Too bad. And I'm going to do him like a crusty sea captain.
Hey.
Anyway, but basically, like, it just starts to say, like, how busy their lives are. And then, like, on the Saturday, on their weekend, like, they go snowboarding.
Man, I hate fighting Nazis on Tuesday.
Yeah, Liberty Bell and Hourman go snowboarding. And then, but she's basically saying, this is what our life is like now, and this is what my life used to be like. And they flash back to
What I thought was really interesting was that this Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday were all the previous stories in the series so far.
So it's over a week time.
And so what's interesting is that on this first page, you just have Liberty Bell and Hourman who are married. Mm-hmm. And through in between the moments of the past seven issues, we see them planning this trip.
Right.
And I've said it before, I fucking love Hourman.
Yeah.
And I love them as a couple. Mm-hmm. And this page summed it up so greatly.
Yeah.
In that, like, you know, here they are, they're fighting Nazis, but then they're like, you know, like, you know, like, you know, like, they're just talking. And
well,
it's,
some
yeah.
superhero couples don't work, and it's kind of
right.
silly.
Yeah.
And this one is just, it seems like it works. And,
yeah.
And, you
so,
know.
I'm sorry. So, great.
No, no, that's
yeah.
fine. And then, basically, it brings us to our story now, where they're sort of in the middle of a fight with Professor Zoom. They didn't tell you how it started or what it, and they throw you, which I think is fine.
And you love Professor Zoom.
He shows up a lot lately,
yeah,
I feel like. I mean, it used to be like when he showed up, you'd go, oh, shit.
What else was he?
He was in The Flash. He was in...
The Flash?
Yeah, he was in...
The Flash!
No,
he was in Countdown. I think he was in Countdown.
Yeah, I just feel like I've seen him in a few different things lately.
Yeah. It's really hard to read his balloon.
Yeah,
balloon.
I liked that, though.
Yeah. I do, too, but I can't quite figure out what he's supposed to sound like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Is he supposed to sound... He's a Murloc?
Anyway, so.
Thanks for the Justice Society of America.
Because he's moving so fast. Yeah. Please don't do that ever again.
Sorry.
All right.
So it gets into...
that is banned.
It gets into who Liberty Bell is and her past.
Did you know any of this before?
I didn't know any
because,
of this.
Did you know? Because you read Flash.
Yeah, no, I've been... Well, what's interesting is that I knew the origin stuff, not to the detail that John's explored it with her with Johnny Quick, his father, but I knew who she was. I didn't know what happened from when she gave up her speed to now
right.
she's Liberty Bell. So
yeah,
this really filled in those blanks
she
there.
She was somewhat of a major character. Was it Wade's Flash?
I
yes.
read her in
yeah,
that.
She
yeah.
was,
yeah. Familiar with
she was
that.
Actually dubbed in the late 90s when they made
she
a big deal.
She was Jesse Quick.
Yeah, but she was Jesse Quick, but they made a big deal when Wally was going to pick who the next Flash was going to be. It was her, not Impulse. I remember that
right,
cover.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
The next Flash is her in the outfit, you know?
That would have been cool.
It would have been very cool.
Is your heart monitor okay?
I'm okay. I'm all right.
Is that fine?
So what's interesting is that I'm on the precipice of buying all of the JSA trades from the previous
You
series.
Should. I read
and
those.
I'm going to.
They
I'm probably
good.
Going to. Yeah,
yep.
The next convention I go to, I think we're going to pick them all
yeah,
up.
Yeah, they're
so,
very good.
Yeah.
You know what? There's not even a whole lot to say about it. It's just like a really good standalone issue. If you haven't been reading the JSA, this is a great one
yep.
that you can pick up and see if you like the flavor of it.
Well, what it is a writer who just has such a lock on these characters.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he can do these single issues, and it doesn't feel boring. And he can balance a team of this size mm-hmm. and not have it feel overwhelming.
Exactly. I mean, like, in the same way where back in the 90s there was a lot of complaints about the X-Men books where there are so many characters, how do you know who's who or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing where I feel as if the richness of the characters really is an asset.
Right.
Because essentially there's not an effort to try to put them all in one issue.
No.
There's, you know, like, it actually, on the last page when they save Damage and handle Zoom, and then the whole team goes snowboarding with them, I found myself, much like the old G.I. Joe comics, looking in the background and say, oh, there's so-and-so,
yeah.
and there's so-and-so.
Yeah.
Like, it's almost like a Where's Waldo.
You
want
to see where they speak close.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know what's, so. What's even better about this format where each issue's only got five or six of them is when they're all together, you know that's when the shit's going down.
Yeah.
Like, you
yeah.
know when that big... mighty villain shows up and they're all there, then you're going to know it's serious.
Yeah.
Another thing is this one looks in Damage a little bit.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Damage is very easily could be done and you would be like, oh, stop whining, shut up, I don't care.
Yeah.
And I'm not there yet. It's a little bit, but like for the most part, like I find myself rooting for him, I guess.
I have
like,
no I, face.
Yeah, I know. I thought, again, to echo what I said, I love Hourman. Like, I want to know how the Hourman Liberty Bell relationship started.
Yeah,
I want to
yeah.
see all that. But the scene when they're in Aspen or wherever they are snowboarding, and they're at dinner, and then they get called to report.
Right.
All right. It's 2007. Like those are the largest communicators. Those are like Star Trek 1960s yeah, communicators. You know, make them a little smaller. Get up at the top. Yeah, but other than that, yeah.
I guess
they're a little older.
This was a fill-in artist. This is Dale Eaglesham.
I liked him better.
I love Eaglesham, by the way. I've loved this series up to this point.
And Eaglesham, for me, has to be on a certain kind of book, I think. It doesn't work for everything, but he's got a great style for this kind of book. I think it's probably a testament to the power of the script, that this one is consistent with all the other ones. Right.
And the great thing that happened was, is that not the great thing, but like Liberty Bell, previously Jesse Quick, had given up her Flash powers to help Wally, mm-hmm. and she had adopted the strength powers that her mother had. But in this issue, she finds out that she got her speed back. So now she's not only super strong, but she's super fast.
Well, right.
Which is just
if
super awesome.
If you say 3x2 to the 42nd.
Yeah, but
4A, exclamation point.
You know, but again, this touches on the same. He's staying with the same theme of legacy,
yep.
and family and history and all of those things. And, man, don't you wish that he'd been able to stay on Avengers?
Yeah, but...
He didn't really click with Avengers like
here. I don't think he was seasoned enough for Avengers. I think he got on Avengers too soon.
All right.
I think when he leaves DC, if he goes back to Marvel and goes on to Avengers, I think it could be amazing, because now I feel as if he's got a hold on how to do this kind of thing,
That's a good point.
Yeah, but...
if you don't know what we're talking about, basically, Geoff Johns had control of the Avengers after Kurt Busiek a few years back, and then he signed his DC.
It was right before he went to DC.
He signed his DC exclusive contract.
It was only one arc, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then he went to own... DC.
Yeah, pretty much. He's the
Bendis. DC's Bendis, basically.
Yeah, you think the Dio runs things? No, it's Geoff Johns. So.
Uncanny X-Men 489. I don't know why I'm buying this book.
I'm just going to go to the bathroom.
All right.
No, I mean, I just feel like there's nothing happening.
Oh, no, that's not true at all.
I don't know what's happening.
Are you crazy? I mean, well, admittedly, we're talking story, because I have an issue with the art.
Now, this is the Brubaker one. Not
this is,
right.
Yeah, this is Uncanny X-Men. And so right now, Ed Brubaker's writing the story arc where we've got two stories that are going on, where Storm and Warpath and Hepzibah are investigating a terrorist group of Morlocks who are trying to assert some control, some mutant rights. Meanwhile, Professor Xavier and Nightcrawler are trying to track down Magneto, because apparently Magneto's back.
Magneto's mixed up between the movie, the Ultimates, and this one. So
story-wise, I thought this was great. The Morlock terrorist group kind of went up a notch with this one. We find out that they're doing it somewhat. There's some sort of greater kind of behind-the-scenes machinations.
Right.
We find out that the Skids, who's been a longtime character since the mid-'80s, often with her partner Rusty, who I forget where Rusty is, was actually undercover working for the
Rusty and Skids.
Yeah.
Does Rusty work on trucks?
No. Rusty and Skids were the first two characters that when X Factor started in the '80s. It was the original five X Men under the guise of we'll help find mutants, like we'll help families deal with the mutant problem. But then they were working undercover as helping the mutants along, and Rusty and Skids were the first two mutants they detected. But anyway, and Skids' power is that nothing can hit her; like it just goes right off.
Where did Mimic fit into all that?
Mimic?
Yeah. Mimic was in the original
X-Men.
Oh, yeah. Mimic was in the 60s. Yeah.
As you said, the original X-Men group.
No, this is in the late X-Factor. Yeah.
I zoned out for a second there.
You did. So we find out, that's moving along. And then meanwhile, you've got Professor Xavier tracking down Magneto in a compelling... It's all building up to something. What the Morlocks are trying to do is they're trying to get Magneto's attention. And Xavier wants to get to Magneto before he realizes and builds an army again.
Every time you explain what's going on in the X-Men book, I lose 4 minutes.
That's all right. But what I think is more interesting about talking about this is that this is another artist in a list of artists that I really, really used to like that have changed their style.
He changed his style. He used to be a good penciler, and now he's doing a painted style.
This is LaRocca.
And really? Now, look how bad... Look at this picture. Xavier looks fat.
Yeah, and look at that of... It's
he was a very good.
For those of you at home, they're pointing out pictures of Charles Xavier and a haggard, heroin-addled
Skids.
Emma Frost.
Oh, that's Skids. Yeah,
she looks like she's hit the Skids.
Right. Yeah.
She's on Skid Row.
It's not good. It's not good at all.
And Carlos Pacheco, same thing.
He went painted too.
Yeah. Same thing. Like I understand. I'm all about exploring your art form and trying to try different styles and stuff like that. But you were good. When you're on a top-notch book like this, fight the urge to do something different and do it good.
The thing is, they had a style that everybody went and copied, so
you
probably were like,
you got to change, exactly.
Adjust myself.
I liked the fact that the Fantastic Four were there.
Yeah.
I liked, that's the old Marvel, thing of crossing over. But I just don't... This must be just for the hardcore, because I don't... I don't follow it. I don't know why I buy it.
So stop. We don't want
to. I might.
No, I'm just kidding.
No, I might. I don't. Yeah. I finished it and I thought, okay, I don't know what
I
happened.
Can. If you want to stick with it through this arc,
right?
If Magneto comes into play, it will get good.
Well, that's. I might do that.
I mean, I can assure you that if I know Brubaker's working towards getting Magneto back, and if that's the case, it will be good.
I would just like for some compelling reason to continue. And that might be it.
Okay.
Well, you know, I think it's kind of cool that there's a book for the X-Men people.
Yeah.
And it's not like...
And no, if any book, it should be uncanny.
There's no problem. Yeah. I have no problem with it. It's just I don't understand what's going on.
And I don't even want to talk about the Endangered Species thing. I'm done.
I didn't read it. Yeah. I tried to. I gave up on it.
It's sad.
Started off so strong for you.
It did. It really, really did. Right. If we had Arnim Zola, it would have been perfect. So... So we haven't talked about Countdown in a while, have we?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, so...
You know how in 52, in the beginning, it was really slow, we were all wondering what was going on, and Josh was going to drop it, and we were all kind of bored?
Yep.
And then it started picking up momentum, and things started coming together. I feel like we're getting to the point now where I really, really enjoyed Countdown 39. And I thought, okay, things are starting to finally happen. I think the problem is each one of these character stories only gets 4 pages or so.
Yeah.
So you don't really get a lot invested because you're only getting a snippet. I think now we're getting to the point where we're getting enough of the story cumulatively that I'm starting to become invested in what's happening
to
the characters.
Exactly what happened with 52.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Act 1 took 6-8 weeks.
Yep.
And then that got you, okay, now we can get going.
Yep.
Here's where we are. Let's move along.
As opposed to one comic where it's 22 pages of a story, when you get 4 a week, you know, it takes a while to get going. I think now we're starting to get going.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I mean, I a lot of people have been, you know, kind of harsh. The only one qualm I have is about the Jimmy Olsen story. Is I feel as if, and I don't know anything about Jimmy Olsen other than just his archetype and what he is and stuff like that. I don't know. I don't read the Superman books on a regular basis, but I feel as if he's almost approaching this thing of having powers almost with a little more naivete than I would expect.
I was noticing that is that they haven't seemed to develop this character at all. You'd think after all this he would be like Rick Jones.
Yeah.
Like Rick Jones is savvy and smart. Well, he's been through everything that Jimmy Olsen's been through. But
and like when he's thinking about what team to join, and he's like, there's the Outsiders, well, they're too angsty, and Justice Society, that'd be cool. He's like, we're Teen Titans. Now how do I go ahead and make an appointment? Like I felt as if I was reading somebody who had no connections to the superhero community when this is Superman's pal. Right?
The problem is that they keep rebooting Jimmy Olsen, so he doesn't get older. And so he doesn't become savvy because he doesn't ever get the chance to.
Right.
That being said, you would figure Superman's best friend wouldn't be that stupid.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Well, he's you know, if you're going to count continuity into it at all, he knows Robin. You know, like they've met.
He knew Well, the big mystery is this is how did he know who Jason Todd was?
Right.
Which they claimed again in San Diego that they're going to explain later.
Right.
But I like that. I like the whole, you know, everyone loves the Rogues. The Rogues are great. I love the whole... even though the Karate Kid is kind of annoying, I like the whole break into Oracle's thing, and then I like.
Hey, anytime Barbara Gordon's around, and the return of Batwoman, on the heels of us going, where the hell has Batwoman been?
Yep.
You know, so that's good.
And Renee,
yeah. Which by the way, Renee, as the question, needs the hat.
She's got the hat.
Last issue, she didn't have the hat, and it looks silly.
Well,
so
she's got the hat now.
I'm just saying.
The writer probably didn't put it in the script last time, and the artist was like, I'm not going to put the hat on. Yeah. And then this time.
I really like Calafiore's pencils, by the way. It reminds me of when he was on Exiles, and I missed that.
This is a beautifully
painted. Yes, every now and then he gets a little too pointy nose. Mm-hmm. But,
yeah, no, this was an upgrade art-wise, and the rumor is they're adding more names because
well, even if you just look through the pages, like he's done things like he just cants the angle just a little bit, and just to throw it in a little dynamic, it's less straightforward.
Well, he's an old pro. He's been at it forever, so he's very good.
But it's one of those really good examples if you want to look at like a guy who's up and coming as opposed to a guy who's established. You can look at this and see the difference.
Yeah,
just the layouts they're unusual in some pages. It's good stuff.
Yeah.
World War Hulk.
So the World War Hulk were more than halfway through. Did you drop?
Yeah.
You dropped? Okay, well, so Josh is out.
I flipped through it in the store. I got the gist.
Yeah.
I didn't really... I was like, you know what? I don't think I'm going to need to buy it. And I went through it, and I got every beat that I needed to.
Fighting. Doctor Strange.
I believe we lost people last week because I didn't like the book so much.
Well,
what are you going to do? We can't make everybody happy.
I'm of two minds on this one.
Yeah.
The one,
Like Banner.
On the one hand, I thought this book had some of the strongest scenes in the miniseries. The Doctor Strange, Bruce Banner stuff was really good. That allowed some emotion to enter the story,
yep.
And some reasoning behind what's going on. But everything else just
well,
not good.
Well, the thing is that I thought I agree with you in that, and I actually thought the Hulk Ross fight was actually good. Like when Hulk plowed through all the army and
shouldn't
then
that have been first?
No, no, I can understand why. I mean, I'm not going to get into a story. I'm not a storyteller. I don't know. You know, like, I'm not going to nitpick over that. But when it got to the point where Hulk jumps up to the helicopter and rips Ross out of it and they're fighting and Ross just shoots him in the eye, like, it was that was fun kind of action. But all the stuff, like, the thing is, I didn't read Planet Hulk, so I have no real allegiance to the Warbound,
right,
to Hulk's buddies. I don't care about them.
Right.
So, you know, so like the Rick Jones and them and fighting Iron Fist and Ronin and all that kind of
right.
stuff.
I don't see why we have to have that, but we can't have Thor speak.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's more, more, is the Sentry going to come? Isn't he going to come?
Yeah, enough
Can
of that.
Can we convince the Sentry to come? He's still on his couch.
But
no,
I got to say, the last page with Strange getting badass and going Strange Smash was pretty
stupid.
I was like, really?
I called in the shop, I go, Connor, can I show you the last page of this and I'll show you why I'm not buying
but
it?
But I really did like the fact that when ultimately in the story Hulk beats everybody, they go to Madison Square Garden and they start prepping it to recreate the Gladiator.
The reason why he hasn't
arena.
Killed anyone is he's going to make them all fight each other
like they did
on
the planet he was on.
Yeah.
But what I did like was that Rick Jones going, "Come on, Bruce, really? Like Gladiator fights? Like that was I thought a good touch of realism, you know." So
I just think the more that's getting harder not to think about this book.
I think the wheels are coming off the horse, and I'm starting to see other people noticing it.
Two more issues. And
great.
It seems to be weekly. Isn't it weekly or bi-weekly?
Bi-weekly.
Yeah,
bi-weekly.
So it'll be done by end of August.
Right, I'm not spending another $12.
No, I'm just saying, you know, and then we'll move on. But, I mean,
it looks fantastic.
Again, it looks great. And,
absolutely.
You know, and the lettering is fantastic again.
who's coloring that book? He is really stepping
yeah,
up.
No, you know, Chris did a good job in the letters, and the production is good. Janssen's inks, you know, I mean.
The flashbacks all dot.
You know.
Colored.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the flashbacks was great. You know, I just thought it was good. But yeah, so I don't know. But it's an action movie.
If you spend any time thinking about it, you realize how bad it is.
Exactly. So, all right, cool. We'll take this time out real quickly to tell you about Jim Hanley's Universe. Jim Hanley's Universe is one of the best, most progressive comic book stores in the country. They're located here in New York City in two locations, and they got the best selection of comic titles and other merchandise, T-shirts and statues and all that stuff. They got everything from the mainstream books to the mini comics to manga to anything you'd want. So when you're in New York City, head over to Jim Hanley's Universe where art and literature meet. Jim Hanley's Universe is there are two locations. The first one's in Manhattan, across the street from the Empire State Building on 33rd Street.
And Fifth Avenue.
And their second one is located in Staten Island at 325 New Dorp Lane. And you can also visit them online at jhuniverse.com. And you could also go to their MySpace page at myspace.com/Jim Hanley's Universe and friend them on MySpace. And if you're ever in Manhattan or Staten Island, go in, tell them iFanboy sent you.
If there's a book that you're looking for that you haven't been able to find for whatever reason, send them an email. Go by their website. They said they can help find stuff, and you can order stuff through them.
Maybe G.I. Joe.
Maybe.
Perhaps. They're going to go, why did we get all these calls about G.I. Joe comics? They routed our stock.
So, all right, cool. So, a book that I really have enjoyed the entire series, and for the first time I went kind of half and half on with the issue, was New Avengers Illuminati number 4.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
Whereas Connor said he's of two minds. Like, part of me, and I saw this across the forums and things, where people were like, that beginning was great.
Yep.
And it was a lot of fun, but at the same time, it felt like it was, A, entirely out of character.
Yes.
Yep. You know, like, it was fun if it was in, like, a, like, if they did one of those, like...
I felt like a parody.
Yeah, like, yeah, if they did, like, one of those Dan Slott one-off issues.
Yeah, yeah.
Like that. But,
yeah.
And it was fun, but at the same time, like, I was like, this whole time, this story has had this giant weight on it, and this, like, sense of... importance, and like this kind of threw me off, and I'll be like, and I did enjoy it. I thought it was funny, and I thought it was well written, but it just didn't feel like in place with this book.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that I really enjoyed the. And for those who didn't read it, it starts off with the Illuminati meeting, and it's right. It takes place. I assume it takes place early 2000s, right at the Marvel Boy, right after the Grant Morrison's Marvel Boy series,
which I loved.
And so they immediately throw you into the present, because what happens is that Doctor Strange is upset because his wife left him, and it leads to them kind of talking about women, and they're talking to Professor Xavier, and they're like, well, hell, you've dated outside the species. You dated an alien. He's like, how'd you know? Like, it's online. He's like, it's online? And, like, that immediately almost took me out of it because I didn't know what time period it was taking.
Now, you know, I don't care about that part so much because I don't. Yeah. I know that time will, if you think about
time
it.
Time is flexible.
No, no,
time,
yeah,
like, back
that's
to the
fine.
Future, if you try to make sense of it, you're
no,
fine.
No, 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 but the thing is that's what set the setting for me, and I didn't, and it was just a little jarring, that's all.
Now, that all being said, I think that the craft of these few pages was a hell of a lot of fun and really well done.
Yep.
Where Tony goes, do you know where she goes? And Reed's like, I know where she goes. Yeah. And it just cuts to like this sort of slightly far off shot of Namor, and he's just like,
You know? And then I thought Namor's speech to Reed about Sue and that whole relationship was awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that like I loved and hated these first four pages.
I agree.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
Have your minds blown?
What?
This is my pick of the week.
Wow.
Yep.
Blown
better than JSA.
Well, what's funny is that my problem with the book is in the first four pages. Mm-hmm. The problem is that like, and I know like for whatever, I just hate Marvel Boy for whatever reason. And I know you're going to tell me that series is great and stuff like that. It wasn't my cup of tea and all that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I did like what they did with him and they're talking with him and dealing with. I did like how they handled
take
it.
Take those four pages out of it,
And,
which gave me the weird feeling. I was like, it just doesn't seem right or whatever.
Yep.
I still enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun reading it. I think that what's his name, Art Man.
Jim Chung?
Jim Chung.
He's amazing. The art's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, like, from huge action to
you need to read
facial.
Young Avengers. You
no,
need to
I know,
read it.
I know. It's on my list. What do you want?
Just,
I want you to read it.
I really liked Marvel Boy. Again, I read it. I think it was a four-issue mini.
Yep.
And I read the first three. I didn't know what the hell was going on. And then the end, I suddenly was like, I don't know why, but I really liked that.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't make sense, and I can understand why you wouldn't like it. Okay, but if this is going to be the explanation for why Captain Marvel came back...
I don't think it is.
I don't think it is.
Oh, really?
They're showing his potential is
he could become Captain Marvel.
See, but this made me think that the Captain Marvel who came back to run 42...
They're showing him what he could be if he chose to be good. He could be the new Captain Marvel.
Because at that point in time, Captain Marvel was still dead.
Okay.
And in Civil War, they made it plainly clear that it's Captain Marvel from the same.
Okay, they did. I didn't read that.
Yeah, it was.
This is...
Yeah.
Well, I liked it more if I thought of it like that.
Well, that's okay. You can think it that way in your world.
No, this I don't know anything about Marvel Boy. I didn't read it. I enjoyed the second part. The first part was brilliant. One of the best.
Yeah.
I didn't care about being out of character because none of the Marvel characters are in character anymore.
Not so much that I don't think that they weren't in character. It was aspects of the character that we're not used to seeing.
Well, because
the thing is, ultimately, they're going to talk about women. You know what I mean? Like that, and we just never see that side.
And
so
in
that's
this
what
book,
you know,
it seemed out of place. Like in this title,
I loved you know everybody. I mean I love the Illuminati meetings when Professor Xavier told Tony Stark he thinks like a programmer. I mean that was exact. You know, like it's. It was amazing, you know, and like the whole meeting part of it, I loved. When I say I loved and hated it, because hate is a strong word. It just made me a little uncomfortable because I wasn't used to it.
Yeah.
But looking back on it, I actually thought it was like I agree with Connor. It was great.
I think the more I look at it, the more I like it. But it did throw me off a little bit.
Yeah.
So.
I don't, not having known anything about Marvel Boy, I really liked the second half. I don't know why. Stakes were fine.
That's fine.
You should read Marvel Boy.
Well, I assume Marvel Boy's coming back now. Because Illuminati is the linkages for all the storylines that are going on.
Well, there was a second Marvel Boy series written, but it fell off the rails.
Well, that was because Morrison left. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No.
If the Skrulls are involved, aren't the Kree close behind?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Good point. We wanted to just talk real quick about a couple of books that we have. Along the same lines of how Countdown was pretty good this week, I picked up All New Atom number 14. I haven't been reading this. I just picked it up. Because we talked to Mike Norton, the artist, in San Diego, and I was like, I want to see what he's doing. And I was actually really pleasantly surprised. I'm
shocked.
I kind of, just because it's a lot of the DC characters who I don't know anything about who have their own title, I just find myself not interested in.
Right, no, I mean, it's good that you are. I'm just surprised.
This, basically, what it is it's actually part three of a story, but it's the search for Ray Palmer, and it's Jason Todd, Donna Troy, and the new Adam, whose name I don't know.
This is where the actual story is happening.
Yeah.
So they go in, and they're trying to find. They find this.
Are they in heaven?
Yes, they are, but it's not heaven. So they start like Blue Beetles in it, and they talk to all these people, and it was a lot of fun.
Connor just got choked up.
Yeah, Connor's like reading it.
He saw Barry and got all upset.
It was really imaginative. I thought it was clever. It had good. It had people were saying that they had hoped for more of the Monitor and Donna and Jason.
This is where it is.
Yep, and it's in here, and it's a lot of fun.
Written by Gail Simone, art by Mike Norton.
Cool.
Great. It was just a great comic book.
Did it help you to enjoy Countdown more?
Yes, it did, actually.
Oh, interesting.
It did. I liked it. And so I'm curious. You know, it's kind of the story is basically that this is a guy who's in Ray Palmer's outfit. He's the new Adam. you know, and he's got to deal with that. This is sort of like Kyle Rayner did before. I don't know much about it. Okay, well, you know, whatever. One other quick book, which I have been meaning to talk about and haven't, is The Exterminators. This week, issue 20 came out. It wasn't really quite good enough to be my pick, but I picked up these trades, and I read through them and caught up on issue very quickly. I'm really liking the series. This is one of my favorite Vertigo series.
Art by Derek Robertson?
Derek Robertson has been filling on the last two. For the most of, I think the first 14 or 15, the artist on it was Tony Moore.
Oh, wow.
It's a horror book about, sort of, it's about a bug infestation of Los Angeles and all of this weird shit that goes on around it.
Bugs.
It's really creepy, and it makes you feel crawly to read it.
Bugs.
Yeah, I mean, there's big bugs, and it's just...
I don't like bugs.
This one actually felt a lot like a Transmetropolitan.
It looks like it.
Yeah, because it's the same artist or whatever, but... Right. I'm really digging this series, and I'm going to hope to do more on it at some point.
Little boys there.
Yeah.
In the art. No, yep. I've heard good things about this book.
It also feels like, it takes place in Los Angeles, and it really feels like they've the character of that city down.
In the same vein of trying things out like Josh with all the Atom book, I picked up Supergirl number 20 because this was the new creative team jumping on, and I saw the preview art, and I liked it, and I figured I'd give it a shot. Supergirl is an interesting character, I think. This was really good. This is really good. This was Tony Bedard, who's writing the Black Canary miniseries. And the art is by Renato Gaitis. And it's interesting because it's Supergirl, and it's not at all cheesecakey. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you look, the skirt is almost down to her knees.
Yeah.
The shirt.
I remember somebody, I want to say McKeever, or somebody at DC was talking about how they're starting to make her less...
Jailbaity.
Yeah, jailbaity.
Well,
look,
the shirt covers her entire chest and even comes down to her rib cage. I mean,
it's just getting to the point where you can see the bottom of her nipple.
Yeah, it was awkward, really.
I mean, the art is really good. And this is also Countdown.
She's got thick ankles. She's got strong ankles.
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 This is an Amazon Attacks tie-in.
Is this still going?
Yeah. This feels.
Does that matter?
It matters in its own pocket.
It's the most despised mini going on.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly.
It's really good, actually. It's better than any other ones going on.
Yeah, so fuck you.
So I think if you're at all looking to try it, number 20, Supergirl, is a good place to start.
So they dropped the Legion? Because wasn't she with the Legion? Yeah,
she was
in
the future.
Yeah, because a friend of mine was reading it and was hating that. And so,
This is very good. The art's fantastic.
Cool. Awesome. Excellent. So, one last book I wanted to mention was She-Hulk number 20. I know I'm the only one out of us who reads it, and I believe it's coming to the end of Dan Slott's run on it, and Peter David's going to be taking over on it. And the reason why I wanted to call it out is previously I've referred to She-Hulk as almost like the Boston Legal or like a witty sitcom of the Marvel Universe, and it's continuing on. And I wouldn't be surprised if this was Slott's issue or like if they're leading into a bunch of fill-ins, because this was, you know, every now and then when they just rapidly wrap up plots.
Yeah.
What they did was they took all the main characters and put them in a situation where this cosmic robot who has been observing them needed a couple of answers, and if he didn't get them in 3 hours, he'd blow up. So it was a lot of, what about this, and what about this, and what about that? And they were kind of explaining in-between moments. And bear with me for a second, because one of the plot devices was the fact that She-Hulk, because of her legal background, had in the series had a lot of interactions with the cosmic kind of living tribunal, the cosmic kind of idea of law. And at one point, she was a judge for a court case between a race of people and Watchers, because the race of people wanted cosmic privacy and that sort of thing. But the reason why I wanted to call it out is because literally in one of those, and what about that, you know, like kind of like, you know, what about that moment, you know, they're asked, you know, the robot guy who's watching them asks She-Hulk, you know, you still have, you know, that cosmic magistrate power. And She-Hulk goes, actually, no, I don't. She says, it literally happened in between seconds, but I was plucked out of time and space, where she met with a living tribunal who was weighing between our universe and another universe, an ultimate universe, trying to decide which one to pick. Mm-hmm. And she ultimately defended the 616 universe, and the tribunal decided not to replace it with the ultimate universe. So, but what's interesting not only is it funny, but in half of a page, Slott pretty much connected 616 and ultimate. At least on a cosmic level. So, like, remember when Wolverine dreamt about the Ultimate Wolverine X-Men? Mm-hmm. So, like, it's being laid. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's, like, an Illuminati issue or something like that. Like, two or three down the road, they
just
say,
remember that DC was there to do it first.
Yeah, he's like, see issue She-Hulk number 20 when She-Hulk, you know what I mean? Like, it was just a throwaway, in-between seconds kind of thing. But, like, why would they do... Why would... You know, like, I understand the joke of it.
Either that or they're just poking fun at all the crazy people who think it's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like the natural
progression of that is going to be that the Marvel zombies show up in the 616 universe. Yeah. They have to, by the way.
But
they have to at some point.
Yeah.
That's how you make that story work.
Right, yeah, no, exactly. But what's funny is that she's saying, you know, he was weighing whether or not to replace us with the Ultimate Universe. Mm-hmm. I argued point after point that our home wasn't convoluted, it was legendary, it wasn't confusing, it had character, and most important of all, we're fun.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like Slott almost defending the 616 from the Ultimate.
Are jam-packed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, this is like a 22-page issue that could have been like a 48-page special. It was just like, and it was like fire. It was like, boom, yeah. Boom, boom. Like, what about this? What about this? They wrapped up about five or six plot lines in 22 pages.
Nice.
And in between some of the moments were like mini one-pager kind of flashback stories where like Hawkeye and the Two-Gun Kid,
Jesus.
You know, like or like a little one-page, you
I'm
know.
I'm not telling
like,
you to go out and buy this, but no. If you're in the shop, just look pick at it up yeah. And look at these pages. It's like, this is comic book economics.
Right, exactly.
She's the poor artist and letterer.
It's like there's a one-page about one of the characters being trapped in Duck World, the Howard the Duck World. Like, it's just like hysterical. So, I don't know. It was just a lot of fun. I've enjoyed She-Hulk up to this point, and I don't know if I'm going to keep on doing it when Peter David comes on. I probably will. But, so.
Well, he's no slouch.
Yeah.
Well, that's it for the books. Netflix, 75,000 titles or no late fees, free shipping both ways.
Diving right in.
Fast delivery. Plans starting as low as $4.99. There's a 2-week free trial if you go to www.netflix.com/ifanboy and you can get a 2-week free trial. And
you know we like it.
Yeah, we love it. I just watched The Scanner Darkly.
I finished Pan's Labyrinth, yeah. And I am about halfway through Gone with the Wind.
What do you think so far?
You want to go to the forum for that.
Okay, did you post about it?
Yes, I
gotta look
did.
At it. Okay.
You don't want to go to the forum.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, God.
No, I'm updating it every chunk I watch.
Oh, good, good. Excellent. I would say watch in one sitting, but I do know it's 4 hours.
3 hours, 53 minutes.
Yeah, so. Great. What about you?
I tried to watch Iron Giant, but it didn't recognize the disc.
Oh, nice.
Aw.
Okay, so...
they'll replace that right away for
yes,
you.
Yes, they will.
Netflix.com/ifanboy. www.netflix.com/ifanboy.
That's important.
Important. All right, so time on to email. Our first email comes from Terrence Hobson from Portland, Oregon.
Oregon.
We've got Hobson. Terrence writes that he's really jealous of us because we have each other to talk about the books we read. And he doesn't have anybody that he knows that still reads comics. He loves listening to our podcast, and that geek out conversation is so much fun. His fiancée has to endure 20-minute diatribes about the coloring work of Alex Sinclair and the major influences of David Finch's art. She knows way more about comics than I think 90% of the people walking around. I probably drive this poor girl crazy. And he attached a picture.
She
Thank
was
you.
Hot, by the way.
Nice.
Anyway, good work.
I'm sorry, Terrence.
what? She was. Good work.
Cankles.
They do this on
No, she doesn't have cankles. She doesn't have cankles. I was just saying, no, because we said I was apologizing for cankles again. I'm sorry. I didn't see the picture, so does she have cankles?
You couldn't see them, but I'm sure she didn't. She was very pretty.
Okay, so the problem is not that she has cankles, but he thinks he thinks it could be a topic for our show, is that what do you do when you're a 28-year-old nerd who's still in love with comics and no one else you know does? Half the fun of enjoying something is having a shared experience with others. So he asked the three of us, the trinity of comic book podcasting, where does a guy like him go to have that shared experience?
Well, I mean, yeah.
First of all, don't be jealous.
Don't.
And second of all, we're not a trinity in nothing, brother.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is that we don't actually get to talk about comics with each other anymore.
We don't.
We don't.
Because every time you hear the mantra...
Don't... Save it for the show!
Save it for the show! we're beholden to you, so... we don't have it either.
But you're not alone in that. And just recently coming back from San Diego, I probably heard what echoed your sentiments exactly.
In San Diego, definitely.
In San Diego, yeah.
And I think that has a lot to do with the popularity of comics podcasting, because comics are much better as a shared experience. We all know that. I think the less that we have to talk about them, the less interested we are about them. Luckily, you do have our podcast and lots of others, you know. And then the other thing that we could say to you is, you know, forums. You know, go to either our forums or the iFanboy or anybody else's. They all have a different flavor.
Bendis's board at Jinx World, Millar's board at Millar. Is it Millar World or Miller World?
Yeah.
The Marvel boards, DC boards, Wizard boards.
Yeah.
CBR's got message boards around comics.
It's not the same as talking, but it's good.
It's chatting.
The thing is, if you go to like a message board, it's easy to feel like there's a bunch of people who know each other already, and you can't get involved.
But
and I push through that, basically.
Yeah, I mean, like, we're lucky because on our forums we have a very friendly group who like to welcome people, which is awesome.
Yes.
And the best thing that we could ever ask for. I don't know how it is on, like, other message boards, but, like, I've posted on other message boards and have been welcomed with open arms. I mean, like, the folks on the Wizard board have emailed me saying, post more, you know, and little do they know that I don't do the message board thing. But the other thing also is go to conventions and you know, listen to podcasts. And, like, for example, in San Diego, we threw a party, had a meetup.
Yeah.
You know, we're going to talk about it a little later on, but me and Gordon are going to be in Chicago for Wizard World and, you know, come hang out there.
Yeah.
You know, like, if you, you're in Oregon, I don't know how close you are to Seattle, but there's a great con, Emerald City Con, in April, in March.
Portland
or April.
Is like...
Portland, yeah, exactly.
That's where all the comic right creators are there.
Exactly.
All,
so,
go to your, you know, go to your shops. If you, if you, I mean, if you're like me, you're kind of introverted or whatever, and you don't want to talk to people about that, forums are good, but...
The stores, too, I'm unique out of the three of us because I spend 45 minutes to an hour in my store talking to the guy. You know,
I don't have a store like that anymore.
Right, exactly. That's a unique thing. But so,
You know, you got to get out there. Don't drive the woman away, though, because then you'll resent comics, too.
All right. Vicious Smith from New York, New York writes,
Vicious.
Ron, this is going to be for you.
Okay.
So Sabretooth gets killed by Wolverine in the latest issue of Wolverine, but in Cable Deadpool was fighting Sabretooth, and he shot Sabretooth enough to keep him at bay. Mighty Avengers makes little to no sense because the Mighty Team has shown up at least three books I've read, and Iron Man is part of the heroes fighting Hulk and World War Hulk. Am I supposed to just give up on continuity and imagine that all these things can happen at once? Or are all these events supposed to fit nicely on a timeline?
That's a great question, because I used to be very obsessive about the timeline because I loved the... I'll tell you how I've gotten here, is that I used to love the 60s, 70s, 80s where, like, something was going on. Like, I remember a Spider-Man book. Oh, no, it might have been Nova. It was Nova, and he sees Thor fly by, and he's like, oh, there's Thor. And then the editor box, like, see Thor Adventures to see where he's going.
Right.
You know, and it was great because there was a small number of books, and they controlled when they came out, and that whole deal. Now what's happened is that I still think there's a continuity, but because of late books and because of stuff coming out, you've really got to just be kind of okay with it and understand that what's happening in Astonishing X-Men is happening over a day that might happen in between, and, you know,
it takes you a year to read.
Yeah, it takes you a year to read, but it fits in between Uncanny, you know, issue this and issue that. You know,
you,
like,
have to roll with it.
You'll go literally
insane trying to fit it all together.
And one of the other things, of the other reasons, not just late books and stuff like that, but also there is a different sense of in comics now that we didn't used to have of auteurism, where they give a guy a book and they say, do your thing with it. And ultimately, while it doesn't make as much sense when you try to put all those things together, I really think that we are getting better stories and we're getting better writing.
To that point, to wit, I only bought a few books in San Diego. One of them I bought was the Secret Wars trade paperback.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm gonna write it up.
Ben to say, I dare you to read that.
Yeah, no, he said I dare you to read Secret Wars 2, because Secret Wars 2 is awful.
Secret Wars 2
but
is
he
bad.
Said he was very high praise of Secret Wars. Okay. That's one of the reasons why I bought it, because Bendis was so praiseful of it. I'm gonna write an article about it. But there's shit that happens in that book that has no explanation. Like, 1 minute Professor Xavier is in a wheelchair. The next page, he's walking around and Cyclops is going, it's so weird to see Professor Xavier out of his wheelchair. No explanation. None whatsoever. There's stuff that happens in continuity where characters disappear and they reappear. Characters just, like, and it's like all over the place.
Isn't that the Beyonders doing?
Yeah, well, it might be, and I'm assuming it's going to get explained or whatever. But the thing is that even back in that days of tight continuity, the continuity is all over the place, within the story, because we have better storytelling now.
You know, that was where continuity came from,
right.
You know, the No Prize.
Exactly, yeah. So, I don't know, just roll with it. And just, I mean, the thing is, you know, like, Sabretooth is in Cable and Deadpool, and then Wolverine is dead, so Cable and Deadpool takes place before Wolverine.
Here's the thing. You can sit there and get mad about it. It's not going to change. So you just, like, either stop letting it bug you.
You'll enjoy things a lot more if you just roll with it.
So, all right, cool. So our last email comes in from Craig Mandel from Chicago. Craig is sick of Iron Man.
Which is rough since we started our show like that.
Yeah, exactly. I hope he doesn't kill us. He's sick of... Or we're going to go to the negative zone.
42.
Wow. I know it's not real. He's sick of every Marvel character quaking in their boots when they mention Iron Man. Would someone please kill this guy already? He's like Bruce Wayne with none of the appeal of Bruce Wayne in a stupid robot costume and a mustache. He dropped Mighty Avengers this week because he doesn't understand nor appreciate... Thanks, Marvel editorial. How Iron Man can be Ultron and also have been knocked into next week by the Hulk and also at the helm
at
every S.H.I.E.L.D. project meeting and at every Initiative Daily after party. I have an idea for you guys. I know you dislike Iron Man haters. Do we? But please, please, please do a video cast or take some time on the regular podcast to explain to him, someone who's never been remotely interested in the douchebag in the metal suit and all the rest of the world, why any Marvel reader should stop wishing he was dead. Is there a history here of tremendous Iron Man deeds that I've not seen that have brought him the good guy stock that's been flushed out over the last 2 years? No matter what Marvel book, and he's in all of them for some reason, he always seems to be completely get his ass kicked and his suit broken. Piece of junk. What was ever so great about the guy?
Well, first of all, the continuity stuff we just talked about. So
yeah, so
just
rewind.
It's
roll
not
with it. Roll with it, people.
All right. So is Iron Man a classic character?
Oh, yeah.
I am a huge Iron Man fan, yeah. Which I know is odd because I haven't bought an Iron Man book in years. I don't think he's been done well for a long time. Yep. And I don't think he's been consistent, and I don't think they know what to do with him. And I can't decide whether I think that what they did with him in Civil War was a good idea or not. You know what I mean? Like I
well, he's a Skrull, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, but
I love how that's the answer.
He's a great character. He's not Bruce Wayne.
Right.
He's the opposite of him. He loves who he is. He has no
self-hatred. He loves being Tony Stark.
Yeah. And I think that they've been confused about what to do with him for a while.
Craig, go read Demon in a Bottle. I mean that's all. I mean that the alcoholism, all that stuff. Go read Armor Wars. Mm-hmm. Go read when James Rhodes.
Whoops, sorry.
Go read when James Rhodes was Iron Man.
Yeah, I can say my first shock in a comic book came in an Iron Man comic when I was like 11 years old, and he had been dating this girl, and it was just some bubbly ditzy chick that he'd met somewhere, and then Steve started blowing her off, yeah. and you forget about her for an issue or two, and then you turn the page, and she shot him in the belly. And I was like, oh my god, and because. That's this thing where he's the most powerful dude in the world, and he was taken down by his other, like,
yeah, his vices. So,
yeah.
I mean, what's interesting about Tony Stark is that he's rich, he's an industrialist, so he's always involved in, like, defense and all that kind of stuff. The Avengers connection, but then also he's got vices. He loves women, he loves the drink, he loves the Playboy lifestyle, you know. Whereas Bruce Wayne uses that as an alternate identity, Tony Stark embraces it.
They did it really well in the Ultimates, actually.
Yeah,
I really like how they did Tony Stark in the Ultimates, and I think that needs to be more like how he is now.
And in a year from now, you're going to love him. Because I've got a good feeling about that movie.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Here's the thing about the Tony Stark now. I still don't see what he did that was that wrong. He thinks he was doing the right thing, and it sucks to do the right thing sometimes, and that's the point. You know?
Well, he's a Skrull.
Do we tell the Skrull story?
Oh, yeah. In San Diego, one of the folks that came to our party, we were talking, sharing stories, and he went to Frank Cho to get a sketch. And he asked Frank Cho to sketch Ms. Marvel. And Frank Cho sketches, hands him back the book, and he looks, and he's got a Skrull head.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Is that giving it away, or Frank Cho being an awesome bastard, which I hope it's the latter.
Yeah, I do too. I think that's great.
All right, cool. So if you have a question or you hate another character, you can email us at contact@ifanboy.com and tell us all about it. So let's dive into our voicemail then. Our first voicemail has got a lot of questions.
I wish there was a pool.
Hey, guys. This is Dash from Boulder, Colorado. I love the podcast. I have three questions for you. I'll try and make them as quick as I can. Number one, I just read the trade paperback Batman Year 100. I thought it was fantastic. Really love the art. Really love the writing. I was wondering if you had any suggestions for other books that really take the hero in a completely different direction than you ever would have expected it, whether it be in the future or in the present. Number two, I just recently recalled this book that I read when I was much younger. It was a team-up involving, I want to say, Ghost Rider, Spider-Man, Wolverine, and either the Thing or the Hulk. I wish I could remember it better, and that's why I'm calling you. I remember it being awesome, just a ridiculous team-up, but it could have been better because I was 10 years old. I'm wondering if it's worth checking out. Or even just what the title is, killing me. And the third question is, my girlfriend, I'm starting to get her into comics, thankfully, but she's obsessed with young adult fiction, and so, of course, her favorite book is Runaways. I'm trying to find other things to get her into. I tried Invincible, but she wouldn't do it. It's too bloody. So I'm looking for some recommendations on that, too, whether it be trade paperback or just a book that has a good jumping on point right now. All right, thank you very much for your time. And again, I love the podcast. Keep up the good work. Take it easy.
All right, so Batman Year 100 by Paul Pope, recent Eisner winner. Connor, what did you think of it?
I did not buy it.
All right, Josh, what did you think of it?
I didn't buy it.
I didn't buy it either.
I'm not a big Paul Pope fan. I don't like the art. I can't get past the
art. Like it.
I really love 100%.
Yeah, I can't do it. And I like it. I wanted to get it. I just haven't gotten it.
But see those pages, by the way, they're like twice the size of a normal comic book. Yeah. He works huge.
So stories that take a character out of their normal thing into maybe another time or another kind of way of telling.
That's almost a tagline for the Elseworlds books.
It's interesting that you used Batman as an example.
The Elseworlds books from DC, 80s, 90s. all were, that's what they were all about, was taking the familiar characters from the DC Universe and putting them in the past, in the future, in alternate presents.
A lot of them are in trades now.
Go, so. You check out Gotham by Gaslight with Gotham hunting Jack the Ripper.
Superman Red Sun.
Superman Red Sun, if Superman landed in communist Russia. Yeah. The Nail?
JLA the Nail, which is great. What happens if the Nail blows out the tire of the paw in Ma Kent? And
also, if you didn't see our video show a couple episodes ago, I recommended the Marvel What If series, which is kind of reinventing heroes, what if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four, and there are a lot of great ones over
the years.
We
also did Holy Terror in one of the video shows. Yeah. That's also an Elseworlds book that's very good.
So his second question is, he remembers some sort of team up with Ghost Rider, he thinks Hulk or Thing, Wolverine, and Spider-Man. You do remember correctly, it was Fantastic Four issues number 347 through 349, in when the Fantastic Four were captured or something happened, and Mole Man was the villain, and there was
you looked those issue numbers up.
I have those issues.
Right, but you had to look. You didn't know it off the top of your head.
All right, why don't you give it away?
No, I don't. Like, it's scary if you knew that.
No, I didn't know. I do remember.
Your eyes start to glow.
I knew there were. I knew it was in the 300s. I didn't remember the exact ones. I did look it up. I believe Art Adams. Those covers were great.
That kid's got skills.
So you can find those. I have them. I can't lend them to you.
He almost said it, though.
And I almost did. I was like, I was going to say I could scan them, but I didn't want to say that.
Anyway, no.
So finally, his girlfriend likes YA books.
Perfect.
So you should get her reading the Minx line from DC Comics. The Plain Janes by Cecil Castellucci, who by profession is a YA writer.
I would also suggest Brian Lee O'Malley's Scott Pilgrim series.
Yes.
I believe the fourth book is about to come out.
Yeah.
No.
You wouldn't recommend
that? Not about to come out.
Oh, no, yeah, it's not about it. It's supposed to come
out.
It's
on ad for it.
He's not finished with it.
Yeah, there's a reason why. There was a reason why he wasn't in San Diego.
There's three books that you can get now.
No, but the Minx line is great. There's the Plain Janes, the Regifters, and Clubbing.
Clubbing, yeah. Clubbing, I just finished Clubbing.
I liked
it wasn't
Clubbing
as good.
A lot. No, I that was one of the best ones. Andy Watson.
Andy Watson was good. Writing, though, and not pencils, though.
I love his pencils.
I know.
And the pencil wasn't the pencil from the...
It was Josh Howard from Dead at 17. So check out the Minx line. That's exactly... That will get you laid. Okay.
Well then.
So our
fanboys make no guarantee about getting laid.
Our next voicemail.
I don't even want to know him.
Our next voicemail.
Saying cankles. He's talking Jesus.
Our next voicemail asking us something we take for granted.
What's going on, iFanboy? It's Damien calling you again from Rochester, New York. It is Friday of the Comic Con, and I'm stuck in Minnesota waiting for my plane to get me there. I was supposed to be in Cali 5 hours ago, hoping I can make it to the show tonight. But my question is, how come you never tell us what music that is that you have playing on the podcast? Absolutely fantastic. Would love to know. Don't know if it's a thread on the website, but you need to point us where to go. Thanks.
Oh, come on.
The most... where's that music?
We get that email every day.
So listen, there are thousands of you who listen to this podcast. You may not know that there's also a website called ifanboy.com where we talk about comics. On that website... there is a post about each episode of the podcast, and in that post, we list the music.
And there's a link to buy it.
To buy it at Amazon.
Listen to bits of it.
Exactly. So we tell you, just go to ifanboy.com. Every Sunday night, we post it. It's very obvious.
And if we put something in the video show, we list it in the credits.
Exactly.
It's the opening theme is listed in the credits, the 101.
And whatever music we use.
Yep.
So
every week with those emails.
I know. It bothers you. So everyone...
go to the website.
Everyone who doesn't go to the website...
Also, it's Connor with one N. Okay, there it is. I said it. Just one N.
All right. And so so after a couple of light questions, Paul gives us a deep question.
Hey, guys. It's Paul, better known as Paper from the Rev3 Boards. Just wondering if you'd be willing to speculate on this question. Do you think the success of Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns is something that could happen again, or even be surpassed in the comics industry? If so, what creative team could do it, and what characters might be involved? Okay, hope you have fun with that one. See you guys soon.
That is a guy sounds just like Tony Stark.
He does, doesn't he?
Isn't that weird? I want to plug his show, because he just started a podcast, the Fuzzy Typewriter podcast.
Yeah, super, super good show.
Movies, music.
Find it on iTunes. So can Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns happen again, and if so, by whom?
Yes and no.
Well, my answer to this is sure.
Maybe.
I, I can't tell you who or what characters or what publisher. Like, I don't. I mean, I wasn't reading comics when Dark Knight and Watchmen came out, but I get the feeling that it wasn't suspected. Like, well, it wasn't like expected. You know,
here's
what I mean?
Where it's not going to come from. It's not going to come from somebody trying to do the next Watchmen or Dark Knight.
Right.
And I think that's what we keep seeing is like, I'm going to take the realistic, gritty take on this character and make the story. It's going to be something completely different. I don't. Like, we mentioned Scott Pilgrim. It's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
It's going to be something that does a whole different genre, a whole different thing, and it's going to blow everybody away.
It's got to be something that's mainstream enough that people are going to, everybody's going to read
What's
it.
What's mainstream can change, though, I think.
Not in comics. It hasn't changed in 50 years.
It could, though.
Well, the thing is, I mean, what's tough is that, like, Watchmen and Dark Knight were steeped in superhero lore.
Yeah.
And while something like Mouse or Blankets or something
Sandman.
Like that was Sandman, you know, Sandman's got one foot in the superhero world. I mean,
no.
You know, yeah. Trust me, I'm reading it. It's there.
He's mad at me when he says
but,
that.
I mean, the thing is that you just don't know when it's going to come from or who it's going to come from.
Yeah.
You know,
that's what makes it great.
And that's what makes it
it's
great.
It's not expected and it blows.
And the thing is also, in the same way, just kind of like when you're looking for love, you can't expect it. You can't wait for it to happen. It just happens when you don't know about it.
You know, then the other thing is, you know, maybe nothing will hit with the impact like that, but personally, there are hundreds of books which hit me with just as much impact when I first, you know, Strangers in Paradise.
And actually, I think that's more, like, while Watchmen and Dark Knight Returns knocked everybody on their ass at that time across the board, I think there's more little things that are knocking groups of people off their asses and stuff like that. You know, so.
Definitely.
So thanks, Paul.
So, finally, if you want some gear... you know, some superhero stuff or whatever, comic stuff, you can go to geekarmor.com. They sell t-shirts with the geek in mind. They got a heavy focus on comic book t-shirts and a whole bunch of video games, sci-fi, TV, we'll say pithy kinds of things in there, stuff like that. You'll find what you want. Connor, still thinking about that Arkham Asylum athletic shirt in XXXL. So you can go to geekarmor.com, which is...
a website
armor like the U.S.
Yes,
kind.
Not the British kind.
No also, if you want to leave us a voicemail, it's 1-888-FANBOYS, which is 326-2697.
And that goes along with the email address, contact@ifanboy.com. So, all right, cool. So, real quickly, we got some quick announcements and stuff like that to go through. In addition to geekarmor.com, if you need a t-shirt, you can now get the iFanboy t-shirt.
Woo! Good Lord!
Finally. So you can go to jinx.com/iFanboy where you can order the brand new design of the iFanboy intern t-shirt where you can join the ranks of the iFanboy interns.
You too can be an intern.
Exactly. Much to Gordon's chagrin.
You know, if you
he's
get the shirts...
Happy.
He's not happy at all. No, he wasn't.
If you get the shirts and you want to take a picture, you can put them up on the Jinx site there.
Or you can send them to us and we'll collect them.
But yeah, so if you go to ifanboy.com, up on the top nav, there's a link to t-shirts as well, or you can go to jinx.com/ifanboy.
Small through 3XL.
jinx.com/ifanboy.
And they're great. Connor's wearing his right now.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
And finally, as mentioned earlier, we got back from San Diego. We had a great time. For some reason or other, I'm going to Chicago to go to Wizard World.
You're crazy. That's why.
And Gordon's going to join me. So if you're going to Wizard World Chicago, post it on ifanboy.com. Up at the top, you can see all the news about where we're going to be. We're probably going to hang out Friday night, so if people in the Chicago area want to hang out, we can meet up. Saturday, I'm going to be at the Heroes Initiative booth from 3 to 5 on Saturday afternoon.
Are you going to Twitter?
I will be Twittering. That's a good point. We'll talk about Twitter in a second. And I'll be at the Heroes Initiative booth from 3 to 5 with Chris from Around Comics.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be sketching.
Look up a pick of the week he did on an X-Men silent issue on the site. That'll show you how he sketches.
Exactly. So, so if you're in Chicago, please come out and you could meet me and Gordon, and it should be a fun time. So, cool. I think that's about it in terms of
that being said, we're working on you may see some San Diego material this week on the video show, which comes out every Wednesday, as opposed to this show, which comes out on Sunday. We were in San Diego. You know what it looks like when we do a convention show. This one's maybe even better.
This is
than
the mother
that.
Of them all.
Yeah.
So.
There's a lot of things.
I'm still sore in places. So.
Yeah,
I
no.
can't believe I'm still tired.
I lost 7 pounds.
Did you?
Yes, I did.
Wow.
Yeah.
And we didn't eat lightly.
No, we didn't. That's a, again, like in WonderCon, we lost like 5 or 6 pounds. Yeah, it was crazy. So.
This is like the hair oil thing.
Yeah. I think that's why I'm going to Chicago.
Because
I
want
to
lose another 7 pounds.
Yeah, my new fitness plan is Comic-Cons. So as we mentioned earlier, in addition, if you go online, you want to follow us, you want to hang out with us, well, I'm getting ahead of myself. The video show is at revision3.com/ifanboy.
Exactly.
Next Wednesday, San Diego show. You can go to, you know, myspace.com/ifanboy, comicspace.com/ifanboy, verb.com/ifanboy. We're no longer on Facebook because Facebook's kind of clamping down on the non-entity things, but we're personally we're on Facebook, and there's a group. There's an iFanboy group that you can join.
Yep.
But we also recently added twitter.com/iFanboy, and that's where you can track when we're at conventions. We Twitter like mad, saying where we are and what our thoughts are. And
other times randomly, I just feel like saying, Dr. Doom's a dick.
Yeah. And when we're not at conventions, you can check the Twitter, because every now and then you can see our comic-inspired witticisms. So follow us on twitter.com/iFanboy.
We're also personally on Twitter, too.
Yes, we are personally on Twitter. Yeah, I'm not. Yeah,
Josh is not.
Maybe I will be later.
So, cool. So, I don't know what else. I'm tired.
I've it's lost the place. Oh, you can head out to frapper.com/iFanboy, stick your pin in the map, and tell everybody where you're from. And you can vote for us if you like the show at Podcast Alley or on iTunes. You can leave a review. And you can go to dig.com to the podcast section, and you can dig our show.
Yeah, if you give it a... anyway.
And just real quickly before we end, like we said, we got back from San Diego. We had a whole bunch of people come out to the party that we threw, the Totally Rad Show guys. We had a great time.
Boy, I liked them.
Yeah, they were really cool. If you haven't checked out their show, you should definitely go to revision3.com/TRS
or go
to TotallyRadShow.com. Yeah, watch
their Comic Con show where we weren't expecting to have a camera on us.
Yeah, exactly.
What? Who?
What now? So, check out Totally Rad Show. But thanks to everybody who came out in San Diego. Thanks to everybody
who bought
a shirt, who said hi.
I had so much fun, and meeting all sorts of people. I still, you can hear my voice is actually still, and that's not from doing the show. That's from talking to people we met at the parties and things
like that. It was great. And a lot of people there to help us out. The guys for AIT Planet Lar were super supportive of us. Let us hang out at their booth.
Folks
at DivX, yeah. So Jonathan from Geekscape and Gilmore from Geekscape. And so, yeah, it was a great time. So
I like their moves.
We like their moves. I like your moves. So that said, I'm Ron.
I'm Connor.
I'm Josh.
I want to be stereotyped. I want to be classified.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. You ever feel like you really need to get something off your chest? This is a real thing. Like, if you're mad, if you're upset, if there's something going on, like there's often for me an idea. Maybe it's a wrong. Maybe it's a moment. It's an injustice. It's something that just you keep going on and on over and over in your mind about it. And like that can create anger and resentment or shame, whatever it is. And very often I have found, I am not a therapist, I have found that when you let it out, when you give it voice, when you say it out loud, sometimes it makes you feel better because you've expressed it. And sometimes it makes you realize like, oh, this is not a big deal, but it's been stuck in my head. So you give voice to those things and it can make you feel a lot better. And shock of all shocks, therapy is one of those things that can help you do that. It can help you be able to say those things in a place where you don't need to worry about the repercussions of it. Work your way through it. Figure out coping skills, how to get around it. You know, find ways to deal with that stuff instead of letting it fester. If you are thinking of starting therapy, if anything I said sounds familiar, you're like, oh, maybe my life would be a little better if I could deal with that kind of thing. You should give BetterHelp a try. It's fully online. It is convenient, flexible. It is suited to your schedule. That's the idea. That's what they're going for. You can fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. That's a big deal. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. That personal connection, I believe, to be super important. Again, I'm not a professional. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. You get 10% off your first month. That is BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/iFanboy.